If everything is consciousness, how can there be unconsciousness at all? Now, in answer to this question, it is said that whatever is unconscious is itself a mode of consciousness. That is, unconsciousness is not opposed to consciousness. It is itself a mode of consciousness. And the example is that of sleep. When you go to sleep, what happens? Your consciousness, as you normally understand it, is suspended. But it is not destroyed. When you wake up, you can take up the thread with the past. And how can you take up the thread with the past if there was a real loss of consciousness? We also know that when there is sleep, whatever senses normally observe, they don't observe anymore. My ears may be as wide open as now, and yet in the sleep condition, I don't hear the noise. Even if the noise takes place around me, I don't hear the noise. Therefore, unconsciousness is simply a mode of consciousness. This theory, therefore, simply wants to argue that consciousness is not equal to mental consciousness. If you mean by consciousness mental consciousness, then of course you can't explain sleep. You can't explain unconsciousness. You can't explain matter. But if consciousness has different kinds of grades, of such a kind that even the suspension of consciousness is a state of consciousness, then you can explain the emergence of matter out of consciousness. And how do you explain? By means of what is called self-limitation. There is a power of self-limitation in the consciousness. It's a special kind of power. Just as power of self-expression is a power, the power of self-limitation is also a power. I know that a certain thing need not be spoken in the presence of a child. Therefore, I limit my expression. But that limitation requires a power. It's a very special power. It is a result of a consciousness. That power itself is exercised by a special power of consciousness. Therefore, all self-limitation is a deliberate action. Deliberate means conscious. So according to this theory, consciousness can explain unconsciousness by pointing out that unconsciousness is a deliberate action of consciousness to limit its consciousness. If you therefore put a hypothesis that the whole world is originally a consciousness having a power of self-limitation, then that power of self-limitation can be of various degrees. Greater limitation, lower limitation, higher limitation, intense limitation, acute limitation. Various kinds of limitations are possible. You can have even the intensest limitation which can become inconscience. Inconscience is consciousness limiting itself to such an acute point that it even does not remember that it is deliberately limiting itself. It's an acute self-limitation.
But how is it different from ignorance?
Ignorance is intermediate between inconscience and supreme consciousness. limitation of consciousness, when it is middle point, it is ignorance. When it is acute, it is inconscience.
But you said it's a voluntary limitation, the self is self.
That's right.
So how does that differ from ignorance?
The ignorance is also self-limited ignorance. We are all ignorant. And if you ask the question as to how this ignorance has come about, if you go into the history of it, you will find that at a given time you decided that you want to be limited in your consciousness. If you had not decided, you would not have become ignorant.
No, what I didn't understand was that how is it different from, just as you said, that we voluntarily limit as to what we have to say in front of a child or not. So that is not ignorance, that is because of knowledge.
That's right.
So where is the difference here?
Ignorance also is an act of knowledge. In fact, that is the speciality of ignorance. Ignorance itself is a form of knowledge. That is why in the Ishopanishad it is said that vidya cha avidya. If you follow only avidya, you will be in ignorance. But if you follow vidya alone, you will be in a greater ignorance. Because you are omitting something that is also a form of knowledge. Avidya and vidya both combined together give you really the true knowledge. The totality of knowledge is both to have vidya and avidya.
Avidya will overcome only when we know it to be avidya.
That's right. And also the creation of avidya is a result of a deliberate action on your part.
Availing the knowledge.
Availing the knowledge. If you had not exercised that will, you would not have become ignorant. But you have forgotten it because you have decided that you will even forget that. It becomes acute to that point. You have become so acutely ignorant that you have forgotten that you have taken a voluntary decision to become ignorant. But if you go back into the history of your ignorance, you will find that you had taken a decision at a given time, that you will deliberately limit yourself and play with ignorance. That is the theory of Leela, that all ignorance is a play. You have decided to play, to hide yourself, and then having hidden yourself, you try to find yourself out. And then ultimately when you decide that you want to unveil yourself, then only you become conscious of yourself. So in both the cases it's a question of decision. Is a deliberate action. So, in fact, there is a chapter in the Life Divine where Sri Aurobindo has described ignorance as a process of knowledge. And this is a knowledge which helps us very much in dealing with the world, because wherever you see ignorance, you can be sure that there is a working of knowledge somewhere. Mere ignorance is not really ignorance. Even a child when he is ignorant, if you really observe perfectly, you will find that there is a spark of knowledge which is constantly illuminating itself in some of its most important activities. Just as a body which is diseased has an automatic tendency to become healthy. Healing is an automatic process of the body. Even if you are very ill, everybody tries to become healthy. In fact, all doctors assure you that they are only instruments, external instruments. They put the condition of the body in such a condition that it allows the body to work effectively on its own. If the body were not to work on its own, by its own inner light, the body can never be healthy. How is it that when there is a wound on the body, the white cells of the body, of the blood, they rush out to give you protection immediately? Who tells them that they have the function to prevent a bleeding? If they come into the picture, they can prevent bleeding and therefore the body is protected. Who tells the body? So there is a kind of knowledge which is present even in the movements which are unconscious. And then if you look at the whole world, you will find that the whole world is a big ocean of consciousness.